You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to Students Incorporated. I'm your host, Mr. Jason. Join me weekly as my team and I produce content that's informative, positive, fun, and uplifting. This podcast is created and produced with the help of students from the International Community School of Bangkok. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Season 3 finale. I'm your host, Mr. Jason, and today's episode is a special one. We're celebrating the voices, ideas, and growth of our incredible student team as they reflect on what this journey has meant to them. You'll hear some great stories, honest takeaways, and reflections on things that have been learned along the way. And of course, we'll be wrapping things up with the final chapter of Legends of the Yucatan. Okay, let's get started by hearing our quote of the day, followed by some headline news.
Our quote of the day comes from Mr. Jason Weimer. He's quoted to have said, "If you're going to try to do something significant, make sure you apply the 200% principle. Your effort should include 100% of your brain and 100% of your heart." Well said from our leader and teacher. This quote means that if you want to do something important or meaningful, you need to give it your full effort, both mentally and emotionally. Use your brain to think, plan and solve problems, and use your heart to care, stay passionate, and to stay committed. Success requires both. And now moving on to some news. For our final episode of the season, we asked three seniors one day to share one thing that was on their mind at that moment. Like, did they have any big news? Maybe a problem they were trying to solve? Or if they just wanted to share something they were thinking about at that moment? And here's what we got. First, our veteran Rebecca shared this. "I have some amazing news to share. I just got my F1 student visa. I'm officially one step closer to college. Even better, my mom got her tourist visa at the same time. She'll be able to send me off to Wheaton, and I'm so excited for this new chapter to start." So congrats, Rebecca. I know getting a visa, especially for the States, like really hard. So good job. Very excited for you to start your new journey at Wheaton. Now, next up, we have Maddie from the marketing team. He shared this. "There was a pretty devastating news when I was playing in the community basketball league. We played against one of the best teams in the league and the game was going back and forth. Unfortunately, I twisted my ankle during the game when I tried to go up for a layup and had trouble playing the rest of the game. However, it was a fun game and I'm excited for next week's playoffs. We really hope you get well soon, Maddie." And finally, our other veteran, Premi, shared this. "I'm going off to college in the States to study English and women's gender sexuality this next fall. My news is I can't wait to be excited about college once I finally choose where to go. It's been crazy, memorable, and rewarding to be a part of the Students Incorporated podcast. And I'll miss the people, the memories, and all the lessons I learned along the way. We'll miss you too, Premi." And there you go, some insights into the minds of several podcast team members on a random middle of the weekday. And that ends our headline high school random thoughts news segment for this last episode.
All right, thank you. It's weird to think that after this final episode of season 3, we won't be sitting together like this, hosting and co-hosting together for any more episodes. You both are going your own ways. College for you, Mia, and Frank, you're moving on to your senior year and taking different classes, right? Well, do you guys have any personal thoughts you'd like to share before we jump into this first segment with the rest of the crew?
Yeah, I had a really fun year, you know, being in the podcast. I feel like I got to learn a lot about myself, and not only that, but also learned a lot about, you know, my friends as well. I think it's always fun, you know, coming to class and especially getting to meet a lot of really cool special guests. I think the special guests were really like one of the highlights for me, like by like being in the podcast, because you actually, you know, get to talk to a lot of really cool like professional people, and like they actually are like doing this like as their job, like businesses are and all that. So I thought, you know, just being able to talk to someone and really discuss and have a proper conversation with them, I thought that was really cool. And yeah, I feel like this year passed by really fast, and I swear I was just getting used to talking into the mic, and like, you know, now here we are, like after 32 episodes, like now I'm talking to the mic like for the last time. So yeah, just really grateful and thankful for the year that we had. You know, I'm glad that like all the marketing campaigns and everything really ran smoothly. And yeah, I just had a really great year, and I'm very, very grateful to like, you know, Mr. Jason and the production marketing leaders and just this class as a whole.
Honestly, I had a great time here, like, and it finished way, way quicker than I thought. And, you know, like 1 second, I was recording for the first time, like, and show like how close I should get to the microphone. Like, I was like so nervous and like anxious. I remember stuttering so much, and then like I did like retake like 5 times each one, and then like the other second I'm here recording for the last time and just signing off and not coming in. Like, I don't know how to feel. Like, it feels nice to be done, but like it feels weird to be done. So yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's been an honor to have you guys as co-host for 32 episodes this season for season 3. So I really appreciated that. All right, now we're going to move on to our first group of students to talk about some reflections that they have as well. Okay, for this first segment, I wanted the audience to hear from the season 3 team, as many as possible. With such a large team this year, it was challenging to get all their voices on the show. However, I think we were able to succeed in getting everybody on the mic at some point. Of course, some more than others. Anyway, I'm going to be asking different team members different questions in the first segment, and in doing so, allowing them to do a little reflecting about their time with the show this season. Okay, let's start with this first question, and then you can just go around the table and all answer it. Try to keep your answers short, as we will be rotating through a lot of team members and questions for this segment. All right, so the first question is this. What are some of your favorite things for this season? And why don't you give us your name first as well?
That sounds perfect. Hi, this is Premi. And some of my favorite things, I would say, is having a bigger team this year. And while like everything comes with, you know, benefits and also challenges, but I think it was really fun to be able to expand this project, and also really think we were able to expand the reach of the project. So all the memories, having fun while doing work and making an impact within the classroom and just getting to know more people was super fun.
Hi everyone, I'm Mia. You might recognize my voice. I'm the co-host here on the Students Incorporated podcast, and I'd say that one of my favorite things this year was just how big the scope our like marketing team really like got our like podcast to. I feel like we've gotten a lot of, you know, viral videos on Instagram especially, and I think it was just really cool seeing the people like, you know, commenting and being like, oh, like what school is this? Like, I feel like it was just really cool to see how much we could scale the Incorporated podcast this year. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Highlight. I'm the producer. I truly enjoyed the cross-department partnerships that we witnessed this year. And I also particularly enjoyed like filming the story where the Griff Talks were dropping down from the sky, and we were like playing around with Central's fans. And I also truly, like, it was truly memorable to be a part of the Donut Bash.
As a marketing coordinator, I'm so happy to be growing alongside my team members. I'm also incredibly proud of them. We've come a long way. We've made mistakes together, fixed messes together, and grown together. My favorite thing is seeing everyone progress from being a beginner to becoming specialists in their areas of work. Throughout the process, I've also learned how to be a contemplative, communicative, and mature leader.
And really cool, you guys, we got to take a field trip as part of this class. I think it was just so cool, and that is one of my favorite memories too.
Yeah, that was a fun time, taking a field trip, right? Getting on the bus and then just trying not to get hit in the street by all those cars. Yeah, that was a good time. Okay, let me move on to the second question. So thank you for those answers. This one's pretty easy. So the question is, what are some things you've learned this season? So maybe Mia, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I've definitely learned to be very flexible, and I've learned to adapt really well also with this class, I think, because not only do you have to know your own role really well, but like, what if, you know, one of the other like people, like they're not here in class and then you'd have to sub for them. So I feel like you really have to be on your feet the whole time. And like, especially like, hey, as a co-host, you don't know what your guest is about to say back to you. So I feel like you always have to improvise really well and really think on the spot. So I think that, you know, it helped a lot with my critical thinking skills and also just being really flexible with my roles. Yeah.
Yeah, just a quick note, like regarding the trip, right? It was also great to learn about like getting on the right bus on our trip home and identifying like license plates generally. But like in all seriousness, I think I've learned a lot about adaptability similar to Mia. And I also learned to share and delegate tasks at the start of the class and also towards the end through like the end of class meetings and consistently updating the agenda.
Those are great lessons. I think something I've learned this season is how to be doing a different role. How do I work through, you know, fitting and kind of taking shape into a new role with a new team, but within the same task and under the same project. And I think one of the most important things I've learned is, to be very honest, just to be, to how to be a leader. I feel like so much of it is so theoretical and it is like idealistic, right? But then I think I've come to learn that realistically it looks different. How are you able to lead so that you can make it fun for the class and for your team, but also while getting everything done? And I think that is sometimes a line, or like, where is the line where I say, okay, that's it guys, let's do work, or you know, how, when, or like, what's the time where, okay, you can have fun for this a little bit. I think like learning the line and learning that the team, like we're all just, at the end of the day, we are all just humans too. But then how do we together come together to make this project and to make it work, to make it great and to have fun while doing it?
I learned how to assist my team members in the ways they need, be an encouragement to others, and the importance of communication and marketing. In my role, I know I need to work hard to stay focused and motivate my team members to stay on task and be hardworking.
Very good. Thank you so much for those answers. And yeah, we've learned a lot from, or I learned a lot from each new season that we have, because each team member is different and we all bring different talents to the game. So, and you guys, just like the past seasons, you've brought in great talents to our team this season. Okay, my final question for you guys is this. What are you most proud of when it comes to our teamwork this season? So Premi, why don't we start with you this time?
Thank you so much. Can't believe this will be like my last speaking part voice ever on the Students Incorporated season. And like for the past two seasons too, it's been such a great time and this brings so much nostalgia. In terms of what I'm the most proud of when it comes to our team, I think I would say the level of growth. Firstly, the level of growth, you know, we've come like from the beginning, not really knowing anything, not knowing how to do our roles. We were interviewing to get into our roles. And then now having come so far, so many episodes later, I think we're able to really grasp the dynamics of each other and just learn how we work together and learn how we can be great together. And one last thing I'll say on that is I'm also really proud of how far we'll grow. And how far we'll continue to grow, even after this season. We now have like marketing too, and now we will have the structure of production team leader and marketing team leader set into place. So that, and throughout so many different things that I really do think, and I'm really so excited and proud of how our team, collective team from the very first season, will continue to grow. And thank you so much for this whole journey together.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. What are you most proud of? I would definitely say like the friendships that we've made like in this class. I feel like there's a lot of people in here. Okay, not a lot of people, but I feel like when, you know, coming into marketing class, like you're not thinking like, hey, I'm A and you're B and that means that we can't work together. Like you're thinking like, okay, we're going to be professional. We're going to, you know, do our roles well. And I think at the end of the day, I feel like I'm really proud of just the friendship that we've made throughout this season. And I feel like we've had to work with so many different types of people. And I think it really just goes to show how, like, no matter like how much work or how much talking or how much like producing marketing we have to do, like we really do it for the love of this class and really like the love of marketing and the podcast. So I'm just really, you know, proud of the growing passion, you know, that happened over the season. So, yeah.
In retrospect, when it comes to our team, I think I enjoyed building a lot of team camaraderie across different departments also, because I think through Students in Group, I was able to collaborate internally with the production team and also the marketing team. In terms of the production team, like proofreading, hyper-personalized emails with Abe and with Elsa and brainstorming interview questions with Smarty Pants too, of course, like our AI or bot. And that was actually so like memorable for me. So I'm proud of that.
I'm really proud of the dedication, creativity, brainstorming, sponsorship outreach, and video editing skills that my team has. Everyone is really collaborative, and there have been no arguments or conflicts within the team. And I believe together we'll have a great future.
And how about you, Mr. Jason? What are you most proud of when it comes to our teamwork this season?
Oh, that's a good question. There's a lot of things, especially mainly because this is season three. So this is my third set of students. And with each set of students in the class, I get to see them on day one kind of freak out a little bit and go, you mean we have to produce 32 episodes this year? Because, you know, I don't know how many listeners know this, but
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Students are also in a lot of other classes, and they're taking high-level classes, honors classes, AP classes, and then they get to come to marketing class, and they have to work a job, and it's very different than the other classes. And so in the marketing class, we put people together depending on what they have self-selected of what kind of job they'd like to do. So producer or co-host or marketing director or whatever. And then through that, they kind of work out with their team members of how do we work together towards this common goal of putting 32 episodes out in a school year, 16 in both, you know, 16 in first semester and 16 in second semester. And so it's fun to kind of watch that happen. And I try to help guide and direct and give advice when I can, but also the students learn a lot by just figuring it out as well. And the teamwork is a huge factor. And what they can learn from this class, I feel like, will take them into university and into their first jobs, because you have to work with people no matter where you go. And if you can learn how to do that starting in high school or even younger, then it's much more beneficial for you. Okay, now we'll move on to our next set of students, and I've got two questions to ask them. Come on in, guys, and have a seat. All right. Thank you very much for coming and being back on the podcast. My first question for you is, what have been some of your biggest challenges for this season? Maddie, why don't you start us off?
I think the biggest challenge I face is just finding sponsors in general, especially in the second semester. I felt like the clubs in our school didn't respond to my messages, and it was a struggle. And so we decided to find sponsors outside of school instead. And so, it was a big problem for us and a big challenge that we had to work through.
I feel like the biggest challenge for me during this year was just managing the podcast budget, because there's so many expenses that we have to use, but we also get a decent amount. I feel like the most challenging part of that is like, knowing how much I could spend on each category and if we could go over the certain amount or not going over the certain amount. It's like making the decision of if like the plan is acceptable or not.
Biggest challenges? I think, like, of course, I had some struggles with, like, me and Esther, like, to figure out how to put all this text into, like, this square here, like, properly without looking, like, awful. But, like, that was, like, something we could, like, easily get used to. I think just the biggest challenge was just, like, being overall responsible, which is, like, it's different from academic, of course. I feel like I've said this before, where just being in a more work kind of setting, just being like, this is part of something like that's going to go produce and like shown to other people outside beyond our school, not just like an academic place. I think just having that knowledge, being in this kind of environment, it was just very like, it was fun, just strange. I think that's just overall just like a challenge I had, biggest challenge probably. Yeah.
I would say that the biggest challenge for me was probably in the beginning of the year, adjusting to the way that the class works because it's so different from my other classes.
All right. Thank you so much for those answers, guys. I've got one more question for you. So the second question is, what are some key takeaways about this season that you could take forward with you into the future? Something that may be helpful for you as you look at university and even beyond that.
Yeah, so for me, an important lesson that I learned from this class is communication. I feel like it's really important to communicate well, not just with your sponsors or your partners, but also with your team, with Mr. Jason, and just overall, like, communicate with everyone so you guys are working on the same page and you know what's going on.
I feel like the most, like, important thing I learned from this class is being professional. Like, this class is different from other classes because instead of like a more traditional class, we're actually running a podcast together and we all have different roles. So for example, in my roles, I have to give weekly analysis reports. Also, I have to like turn things in and like communicate with everyone like a real work setting. So this class really like helped me be more professional as I go into college and also in future works. Yeah,
I am a Canva master now, but that's an exaggeration, of course, but more so just like I've just become much more familiar with like Canva, or just using Google Drive, being familiar with like emails, like I'm sending out more emails and stuff like that. And again, that goes back to being like, I feel more confident if I were to work in, say, in similar office setting, maybe not exactly like this, but just like being in that setting, I feel I could be more ready for it. And also I actually have gotten much better at Canva, more efficient in my usage. So yeah.
I would take with me a better understanding of how important consistent marketing is to promote brands. And also that it was really nice to have a glimpse of the real world, work world, before I even step out into the world and into college. So I think this experience I will definitely take as I look for a job too.
All right, thank you so much for sharing, and it's been fun watching you all grow and learn in each of your different roles. Good job, you guys, and thank you so much for sharing. Okay, now we'll move on to our next set of students, and I've got two questions to ask them as well. Come on in, guys, and have a seat. All right, thank you. So my first question for you guys is, what have you learned from either the marketing or production side of producing the podcast this season? We'll start with you, Huey.
So one of the things I learned is editing videos and creating engaging post stories and reels that get posted every week. And I learned like the skills of editing, but also how to reach out to a lot of audience and how to make them like interact with what we're doing in the Students Incorporated.
So as the person who's writing the quotes and news and like kind of like the script for the podcast itself, like I guess to like know what they want and deliver it in the style that they want is like one of the important things to know. But then aside from that, it's just like also like things such as research or just like getting a little bit better in writing.
I learned that communication is actually very important in group work, because we need to make sure that we're all on the same page and like make sure that we get the best result.
My name is Indian, and I think that what I've learned is just how to make a better engagement through whether it's like eye contact or just the entertaining wise. Like, I feel that those key components could really have a very big impact on how to make the reels and stuff go viral as well.
Yeah, I like that. And I actually have a mix of production and marketing students in here, so it's fun to kind of hear from both those different departments. My second and final question for you guys is, and it kind of is about this idea of like in making our podcast, which is a lot of time very informative, fun. So the question is, how do you make sure our episodes are both fun to listen to and informative from a marketing standpoint and from a production standpoint? So Hiwi, go ahead and go first with this one too.
So viewing from the marketing side, I think podcast is a little heavy content for everyone to listen. So as a social media role, I try to make reels and videos at least engaging and light content so people get an idea of what Students Incorporate podcast is doing.
I mean, from a production standpoint, since we're the one making the script, like we get to choose to like take in like trends or what people like in general. And I guess like we just format it like to go with the flow.
As a marketing team, I think episode-related contents and reels can bring more audience into listening to the podcast. So I think we should make like contents that are related to reels so people know what's going on.
Yeah, so the other standpoint for in order for us to make the episode both fun to listen to and also informative, I would say that we have to have a mixture of formal and also just like the trend, like the ongoing trend. Because for our reels, we try to focus on the script that is given to us, but then we also add in the trends.
But yeah, trends, really. Like trying to follow trends and do it in a way that, you know, is appropriate and is doesn't like downgrade the content that we're doing. And just having a fun group of people to work with, I think, is highly important. So thank you so much for sharing. And it's been fun watching each of you grow in your roles and responsibilities this season. So thank you again.
This PSA feels nostalgic. It's our last PSA of the season and the last PSA for a lot of our seniors ever on the Students Incorporated podcast. Maybe you don't know what PSA stands for. Well, PSA stands for Public Service Announcement. We've had a wonderful season with episodes from topics from abstract art to I, T, V, or M employee styles, and of course, the legends of the Yucatan. As per usual, the Students Incorporated podcast will take a break that aligns with ICS's school break and will resume with season 4 in late August. Are you ready for our 97th episode? If you miss us, you can always go back and listen or re-listen to our completed seasons 1, 2, and 3. And we'll catch you again for season 4 to begin in August 2025, just a short 3 months away.
And we are back with our second segment, and we will continue with part 10, the final chapter of our story, Legends of the Yucatan. Part 10 is titled, The Return. If you missed parts 1 through 9, you can get caught up by listening to episodes 87 through 95. Legends of the Yucatan is a sequel to our season 2 story, The Secrets of El Dorado, we released last year during episodes 55 through 64 in audio narration. It's also available in book form as a downloadable PDF from our website or in paperback version on Amazon.com. Just visit studentsincorporated.com to find out more. Now moving on, Camden will give us a quick recap before we jump into part 10.
Recapping part 9, The Safe House. Professor Hawthorne, Miranda, and David go to Tibet to look for the mask. They find a trap door which hides the golden mask. As they were leaving the building, they saw the cartel members driving towards them. And without further ado, let's jump back into our story where we join our eclectic group of characters in their continuing adventure.
Now back at their hotel in Merida, Hawthorne, along with David and Miranda, get out of the taxi. They feel a sense of relief. The past few hours had been stressful, yet exciting. They had found the golden mask hidden in a crawl space at the not-so-famous Hacienda Tebec, which supposedly is a safe house the cartel uses from time to time. Their faithful and resourceful taxi driver proved to be a valuable ally in their silent and stealthy escape from the gun-toting and trigger-happy cartel members. However, it was only a matter of time before word spread of their group's presence in Merida. The city of Merida was known as a safe and cartel-free city, but this could be a different situation for them. The Mexican media had kept David and Miranda's story front and center for many months. Not just the story of the artifact discoveries, but their personal story of becoming close. The media and public were more fascinated about their growing relationship than the artifacts themselves. They had been portrayed and branded by the media as Mexico's very own modern-day Indiana Jones couple, and the public loved it. David and Miranda's presence in Merida did not go unnoticed. There were already several videos posted online of them, a few from their time at Chichen Itza earlier in that day, and a longer video of them at the bus depot in Merida as they had confronted Maria and her niece Renata. Not wanting to get caught up in more media coverage in Merida, which could attract even more attention, David told Hawthorne that he and Miranda were going to have the taxi driver take them back down to Chichen Itza that night. There was a small private locally owned hostel close to the park. They would stay there and then at first light would gain access back to El Castillo to return the mask. Then, if they were successful, they would travel together down to Calakmul and return the jade jar together. Neither one of them wanted to return to Mexico City without first returning the artifacts they had taken months ago. The legends of the Yucatan seemed to be true. Unfortunate events and bad luck would follow those who possessed the artifacts until they had been returned to their rightful resting place. Hawthorne waits in the lobby of the hotel while Miranda goes back up to her room to retrieve the bag that the jade jar was in. David was pacing back and forth in the lobby, waiting as well. The large black bag containing the golden mask.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Was resting on a chair next to him. Hawthorne could tell that David was anxious about getting back on the road and far away from Merida as possible before daybreak. The cartel would be looking for the people who stole back both the jade jar and the golden mask. Professor Hawthorne secretly wished he could be part of the trip to return both artifacts, but he knew this was an adventure that David and Miranda needed to do together, without anyone else. Hawthorne watched as Miranda entered the lobby, having fetched the jade jar from her and Ava's room. All three of them were silent. Hawthorne nodded his head at both Miranda and David, gave them a thumbs up, and then watched as they got back into the waiting taxi. It then drove off into the night.
It was early morning and Prof. Amanda picked up her phone and tapped the green connect button. She anxiously rubbed her forehead while she waited for Professor Hawthorne to answer his phone. She had stayed up late last night in an effort to confirm the group's return plane tickets from Mexico City back to Sacramento. She was also coordinating the group's bus ride from the Sacramento airport back to El Dorado College. She knew the trip had been quite eventful as she had gotten periodic text updates from Professor Hawthorne each time there was a deviation in the original schedule and plan. Prof. Amanda had also been practicing her public relations skills as she communicated with the students' parents about how the trip had been going. She had also reassured the parents of the students who were on the trip that everyone was safe and sound, and would be coming home soon. All of a sudden, Amanda's phone connected and she saw Professor Hawthorne's face staring back at her. He was smiling even though his eyes looked tired. Amanda then said, "Professor Hawthorne, it's good to finally talk face to face. Well, at least virtually. Regarding your texts from earlier yesterday, I was able to rebook all the students, including Lily, on an earlier flight tomorrow out of Mexico City, back to Sacramento. Then, for your return ticket, I was able to get you on the same flight, but just one day later as you had requested. Also, I understand Ava will be handling her own booking as she is going to stay down there and work on her stories. So, the students will be back here in Coloma in a little over 24 hours and you about 48 hours. I'm sure you're all ready to get back."
As the professor holds back a yawn, he replies, "Ah, thank you so much. You're the best." He continues, "As you can tell, I haven't had my morning coffee yet and it was quite the long day yesterday. I will be able to fill you in with all the details when I get back. It's been quite a trip. On this end of things, we're flying out of Merida, where we're at right now, back to Mexico City in about 2 hours. We should be back on UNOWN's campus by early afternoon today."
"Yeah, I want to hear all about it. It sounds like you may be busy this summer writing another book. I mean, these weird and, I might say, amazing things just keep happening to you," Amanda replies.
"Well, I don't want to make this a habit, you know, finding myself in the middle of, well, whatever this is called, weird or amazing," the professor continues. "I'm getting too old for this."
Amanda laughs a bit and then says, "Well, you can send me next time. I'll be happy to join your little adventures." She continues, "Text me or call me if anything needs changed on my end. I've got to go and get ready for my classes today. See you soon."
The flight back to Mexico City from Merida was uneventful. A UNAM bus picked them up at the airport and then took them back to the dorms they were staying in on campus. The students were quiet the entire trip back. Maybe they were tired or just ready to get back to Coloma. Either way, Hawthorne welcomed the peace and quiet. He was also thankful for Lily's leadership with the students. She had really stepped up on this trip and it showed. Because the students only had one more night in Mexico City before their return flight back to California the next morning, Hawthorne let them have free time on campus for their final afternoon and evening. However, they did have to be back in their dorms by 10 p.m. They had an early flight the next morning, and he didn't want any of them to be missing it. Professor Hawthorne wanted to see Anthony Garcia one more time before he left, so he coordinated with Tommy to meet up after the students had left the next morning. Then Hawthorne and Tommy would go see Anthony together again, but this wouldn't happen until the next day. So Hawthorne had some free time, which got him thinking about a few missing pieces to the heist puzzle. He still had unanswered questions that bothered him, so he picked up his phone and sent a text to Ava.
Ava, back at the dorm, having some free time of her own and trying to get caught up with some work, got a text from Professor Hawthorne which read, "Are you free? If so, let's meet up in the student center at the cafe and chat. I've got some ideas to run by you and about some things that don't seem to add up. Let me know. Thanks." Ava texts back and it reads, "Sure, I can meet you in about an hour. That's okay. I know what you mean. There are a few things I'm confused about still with this entire situation. I've got a call scheduled with a mutual friend first. See you in an hour." Ava had already scheduled a call with her source at the FBI, Agent Carson. She and Hawthorne met Agent Carson a few years back. He helped make some high-profile arrests back in Coloma. He was an ideal agent, reliable, honest, and helpful. Since the El Dorado incident and investigation, he had been promoted to special agent in charge, and he had told Ava that if she ever needed anything, to just contact him and he'd be happy to help. So she did. She got on a call with Agent Carson, and for the next 45 minutes plus, was able to get some very valuable information that might help fill in the gaps and answer some more questions about what was going on with the cartels, gangs, and some of the bigger players in Mexico City, including dirty politicians and business tycoons. Of course, none of what they talked about could be published officially because it was off the record, but Ava did learn some new details she and Hawthorne could discuss. After a lengthy conversation with Agent Carson, Ava headed over to the cafe at the student union to meet up with Hawthorne with some new revelations to share.
Mm-hmm. Hawthorne had taken it upon himself to order 2 Italian sodas and some nachos prior to Ava arriving at the cafe. He was reviewing some of the past few days' events in his head and trying to think about some of the things that didn't seem to add up. He wasn't trying to play detective, but there were some things that were bothering him, so he thought he'd talk through them with Ava. And with her experience and connections, maybe some of the questions could be answered or at least investigated. So as he sat there munching on some nachos and fresh salsa, Ava came in and sat down. Hawthorne then said, "I know you've got a few tight deadlines you're trying to meet this week, but maybe we can talk through some of the things about the last few days that seem not to add up."
"Yep, I've always got deadlines, but the series of stories I'm working on related to the heist the other day, the arrests of the 3 gang members and the cartel's involvement with wanting the artifacts are on top of my agenda." She replies and then adds, "You go first, and then maybe my conversation with Agent Carson will help piece some of this together."
Hawthorne then throws out some questions to see if Ava has any thoughts to add. He then says, "So, we know there's a bigger player in the game, bigger than the 3 family members who've been arrested already, and I don't think it's just the cartel. I think Carlos, his aunt and sister, and the cartel are just middlemen. So who's the bigger player? The one who ordered the heist of the artifacts in the first place? That's my first question." Hawthorne then adds, "My next questions are, how did the thieves gain access to the museum the night of the gala? The security was really tight that night, so who helped them? Are the police still investigating that, or do they think that they have their culprits already? And finally, is this all connected to the public controversy surrounding the big oil company and the local indigenous landowners around Calakmul, where the J-Jar was found?" Hawthorne watches as Ava nods her head in agreement with all his questions, and then he adds one more and says, "And finally, do you believe in the legends? You have to admit, a lot of weird things have happened since those artifacts were removed from their resting place."
Ava, having waited until Hawthorne finished with his last question, takes a sip out of her drink and then says, "Yeah, I've had some of those same questions circling around my head for the last 2 days," she continues. "I just got off a call with Agent Carson, off the record, of course, right before I came over here to meet you. And here are some of the things he told me. Are you ready for this?"
Hawthorne, now with a mouthful of chips and salsa, nodded his head yes and motioned with his hands to go on.
Ava continues, "Agent Carson revealed that there's a connection between the large oil company, a prominent politician, and a higher-up person at the museum, where the artifacts were stolen. He also said that the FBI is aware of the criminal activity but has no jurisdiction. They're only able to share intelligence with their counterparts in Mexico City. The Federal Investigative Agency, when asked, which hasn't happened very much." Ava then adds, "Our conversation was a lot longer than this, but this is essentially what Agent Carson could tell me. He didn't have names, but said there is electronic proof that backs up these connections."
"Okay, good," Hawthorne replies. "So we're not going crazy thinking that there's a larger thing going on here." He then says, "Maybe the Mexican feds are working on the leads and connections as we speak. But corruption can run deep here, and they are content with the arrest of Carlos, his sister, and his aunt. Case closed."
"Yeah, either way, I've still got some work to do. So says my editor and my own curiosity," Ava says. "I'm going to spend the day tomorrow visiting some of the local newspapers and trying to meet with some of their reporters. Maybe I can uncover some non-published intel they'll want to share with me about some of these revelations."
"Good idea," Hawthorne says. "Tommy and I are going to go see Anthony tomorrow after we see the students and Lily off at the airport. He's back from the hospital and at home resting. Maybe he's got some information that could help."
Ava quickly finished her drink and some nachos before getting up and then says, "Okay, I've got a call with my editor in an hour and I've got to move out of the dorm room and check into the hotel before that call. Not sure I'll see you again before you head back to Coloma. If not, safe travels. Let's keep in touch and see how this thing pans out. Just like old times again."
"Yep, just like old times again," Hawthorne replies and then waves at Ava as she leaves the cafe and then exits the student union building. The following day, after accompanying the students and Lily to the airport for their flight back to Sacramento, then on to Coloma, Hawthorne, along with Tommy, go visit Anthony Garcia at his home in the suburbs of one of Mexico City's most affluent neighborhoods. By this time, it's late morning, and Tommy drove since it was only the two of them. As Tommy drove the car through the main gate to Anthony's property and then up the long driveway, Hawthorne said, "Wow, working for the museum sure has its perks." Hawthorne also eyed the three very nice vehicles parked in the driveway, a newer model Mercedes, a mean-looking sports car, and a black Land Rover SUV. Hawthorne looked over at Tommy, shaking his head without saying a word.
Tommy parked his car carefully next to the very expensive Aston Martin Vanquish Coupe, a beautiful piece of British engineering and design. Tommy had seen this model before, and a model of the car being advertised at one of the luxury car dealers in Mexico City over the past few months. Some call it a sports car and some call it a sporty sedan. Either way, it was cool. The car was brand new, it was a deep red color, and it looked mean, cool and fast, basically the envy of any car enthusiast. Tommy knew this car was the talk of the town, at least among those who could afford it, which wasn't him. Cars like this cost upward of $500,000 USD fully loaded, at least that's what the dealers were selling them for. It's definitely what makes a statement when it's on the road. Like, get out of my way, I'm the new kid on the block, and I'm rich and fast. Tommy curses under his breath, looks over Hawthorne and says, "Looks like our friend Anthony has a side hustle that pays really, really well."
"My thoughts exactly," Hawthorne replies. As Hawthorne and Tommy get out of their car and start walking up toward the front door, the front door opens abruptly and two guys walk out rather quickly. They seem to be in a hurry and angry. They pass by Hawthorne and Tommy, not giving them a hello or even a quick glance. They get into the black SUV and drive off. Hawthorne then asks Tommy as they approach the open front door, "You did tell Anthony we were coming for a visit today, right?"
Tommy stopped and looked over at Hawthorne and then replied, "I knew there was something I was forgetting to do yesterday." Tommy looks up at the open front door and then says, "Maybe we should leave. What if Anthony isn't even here?"
"So you've never been here before?" Hawthorne asked Tommy.
"No, I haven't. This is my first time after all these years knowing Anthony. I've had no reason to come before, as most of our interactions have either been at the museum or at the university," Tommy responds. As Tommy and Hawthorne are still standing there, looking at the front open door, Tommy adds, "Those two guys that just left in the SUV, well, I don't like to profile people, but they did look a little suspicious."
"Suspicious how?" Hawthorne responds.
"Well, it's a common knowledge that cartel members like to flaunt their design clothing, accessories, and vehicles. At least in Mexico, they do. And the police don't do anything about it. And those two guys that just left were decked out in designer clothing and had very expensive watches," Tommy replied.
At that moment, both Hawthorne and Tommy looked up at the open front door, and there stood Anthony, just standing there and staring back at them. Hawthorne didn't know what to say, so he just blurted out, "Hey there, we wanted to come see how you were feeling. Sorry we didn't contact you ahead of time. However, that was our intention to do so. Just one of us forgot."
Anthony paused for a moment, then said,
"Hmm.
I really wish you had contacted me first before coming here. You put me in a very difficult position, though."
"Why is that?" Tommy responded. However, both Tommy and Hawthorne secretly knew why Anthony had said that. And both Tommy and Hawthorne knew something.
"I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor."
"Hey, good morning."
"Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most."
"Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down."
"It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath."
"Oh, I'm good. So good."
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
"Something was wrong with the entire situation."
"We'd be happy to come back at a more convenient time later today," Hawthorne then added. "I leave tomorrow to head back to the U.S. and I wanted to see how you were doing." At that moment, two different men came out the front door, passing on either side of Anthony, and walked straight forward toward Hawthorne and Tommy. These two men were armed, their guns holstered in their belts. They looked serious and not friendly. One of the men was wearing a cowboy hat and wearing designer cowboy boots, and the other guy was wearing a designer Gucci jacket and sporting an LA Dodgers baseball hat that still had the sales tag hanging from it.
"Oh, Anthony," Tommy said, shaking his head. He then looked over at Hawthorne and said quietly, "You may miss your flight tomorrow, Professor."
As Hawthorne sat on the clean, white, and very large, comfortable sofa in one of the many sitting rooms in Anthony's big house, Hawthorne was feeling a little anxious as to what Anthony was going to do with them. Things finally made sense, Hawthorne thought. Anthony was the inside guy. But was he the big boss? This was the larger question now. Hawthorne felt that Anthony was just one of the many middlemen getting paid off somehow by the real shot callers at the top. Maybe Anthony was just under the top guy, or two rungs down. Either way, the two very nicely dressed cartel members were taking orders from Anthony. Hawthorne knew the cartels could be cruel, and he was starting to think of worst-case scenarios now that he and Tommy had accidentally stumbled into the middle of Anthony's secret life. As far as Hawthorne could tell, the only people on the property were him, Tommy, the nicely dressed cowboy and baseball player, and Anthony, who was in the other room on the phone. Both Hawthorne and Tommy stayed quiet, just sitting there. Neither one of them wanted to escalate the situation by asking a stupid question or making a dumb statement. So they just sat there looking at the other two guys, who were looking back at them.
Anthony got off the phone, slammed it to the ground, breaking it, and then walked back into the living room where Professor Hawthorne and Professor Tommy were sitting. He just looked at both of them for a few seconds and said, "Well, I'm in a really bad situation here." He then said, "My boss wants you gone, but I like you guys, both of you. So there are two ways this can go down. You want to hear them?"
"Sure," Tommy says with a very disappointing tone.
Anthony replies and says, "Either I cut you both in this deal, or you keep your mouth shut, take the money, and go about your daily lives as normal. Or my very unforgiving boss makes you disappear. And believe me, they are good at making people disappear." Anthony goes on and adds, "If you take the deal, which I hope you do, just know that if you don't keep your end of the bargain, not only are you at risk, but you put your family at risk as well. They're good at finding you, and they're good at finding your family members. They've been doing this for a long time now, and they're good at it."
Tommy speaks up first and then says, "Well, my friend, I think there's a third option you didn't mention."
"Please enlighten me," Anthony replies.
"You turn yourself in and let us go," Tommy says.
Anthony laughs and then responds, "I don't think so. You're living in a different world, my friend." Anthony then says, "Just take the money, the deal, walk away and go live your life and keep your mouth shut."
Tommy then asks, "So you faked your injury at the museum event the other night?"
Anthony paused for a moment, then answered, "Well, that was a bit of a mishap on my guys. They weren't supposed to hit me that hard. Either way, it made everything that much more believable."
Hawthorne then says, "Yep, it was believable." Hawthorne then continues and says, "Back to the money thing. So how much money are you talking about? I mean, paying someone off sure has suited you from what we can tell. So how much money are you offering us?" Hawthorne knew that at the end of the day, money talked, and it was usually a matter of how much. Hawthorne wanted to change the subject and talk about the how much, as it would probably and hopefully diffuse the situation a bit. Maybe give Anthony the idea he and Tommy were serious about the offer. Hawthorne then says, "I'm not sure about Tommy here, but I'd be interested in this deal. I, for one, value my life and the lives of my family members, and I'm pretty good at keeping secrets. I mean, I assume you're not going to take Tommy's suggestion about turning yourself in."
Anthony smiles a bit, then says, "All right, what about you, Tommy? We've known each other for some time now, and the quote-unquote amount would be larger than what I would normally offer to the local politician and police chief. So, why say you, Tommy?"
Tommy knew Hawthorne well enough to know that Hawthorne was just stalling and trying to get Anthony in a lighter mood by agreeing to take the deal. However, Tommy knew that his next word needed to be careful and measured so as to sound convincing enough to buy some more time. Tommy also knew, as did Hawthorne, that taking a payoff now had no guarantee of their future safety or the safety of their family members. The cartel never kept that word, and Tommy assumed that Anthony and Anthony's boss had no intention of keeping their words either. It wasn't the idea of if these guys would come after them sometime in the future, but it was more like, when would these guys come after them? Tommy knew that even if they did take the money and felt that they had made a deal, that he and Hawthorne would be disposed of before the end of the week, maybe even by the end of the day. So it was a lose-lose situation he and Hawthorne was in. "Yeah, I'll take the deal too. I know you're not a killer, Anthony, so I want a lot of money. Our payoff needs to be significant enough so me and my friend here can afford a car, a house just like you have."
Hawthorne listened to Tommy's response and thought to himself, "Wow, that was a pretty bold ask." Hawthorne liked Tommy's bold stance, so he nodded his head in agreement to what Tommy had just said. Hawthorne then said, "Yeah, that's just about right."
Anthony put on a fake smile and said, "Wait here, I'll be right back."
As soon as Anthony left the room, Hawthorne noticed some movement out the back window located behind the two guys guarding him and Tommy. Hawthorne could tell it was a person or maybe several people moving around the trees and bushes in the backyard. They were there for a brief second, and then they were gone. Hawthorne knew he couldn't alert Tommy about what he was seeing in the backyard, as both guys guarding them, the cowboy and Mr. Baseball, were just sitting there staring at them. So Hawthorne looked up at the cowboy, smiled, and said, "I like your boots. Is that ostrich?" The guy smiled back and nodded his head yes. Hawthorne was unsure if the guy actually understood what he was saying or was just being polite. "Cool," Hawthorne said. He continued, "I've got a pair of Stetson Caymans back home. You know, John B. Stetson boots. Each pair is made by hand. I've had them for years. They get more comfortable the more I wear them. They make quality cowboy hats as well. You look like the kind of guy who'd appreciate a nice quality cowboy hat as well. Stetson hats are all made by hand too. Great craftsmanship." The guy smiled again and nodded his head. Hawthorne was trying to keep the guy's attention away from what was going on in the backyard.
Tommy had known James Hawthorne long enough to understand that James was trying to keep the cowboy attention by talking about something he'd appreciate. So Tommy joined in on the game, looked up at Mr. Baseball in the Gucci jacket and asked, "Have you ever been to a Dodgers game in Los Angeles?" The guy, surprised by Tommy's question in English, just nodded his head, "No," and looked down at the marble floor. Tommy couldn't tell if he was embarrassed by the question or didn't understand English. Either way, Tommy was going to give him some more info about baseball. "Well, my friend James here took me to Dodgers game a long, long time ago. We sat up high in the stadium, ate hot dogs, drank Cokes, and sang the classic American baseball song when it came on the loudspeaker. You know, the sound that goes like..."
At that moment, Hawthorne joined in with Tommy and they both sang, "Take me out to the ball game, take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I ever get back." At that moment, there was several loud bangs outside. Then the back door, which led to the living room, where they were all sitting, burst open. Within seconds, the room was full of six elite Mexican SWAT team members, guns drawn and shouting commands in Spanish and English. The cowboy and Mr. Baseball had no time to react. They were both thrown to the floor, knees jammed in their backs, and then zip-tied all in one motion. It was almost magical to watch a well-trained SWAT team in action. Hawthorne thought to himself as he witnessed it all happen in front of him. Thank goodness there wasn't a gunfight. The other SWAT team, another six-member team, the team who had come in through the front entrance, cleared the rest of the property. Hawthorne and Tommy stayed put on the big white sofa in the living room. They hadn't moved. They really couldn't move as one SWAT team member had stood by them, watching them the entire time, making sure they didn't get in the way or didn't get hurt. The entire house and property was a crime scene, and Hawthorne knew that he and Tommy wouldn't be allowed to just wander around the property now that they were free. All of a sudden, Hawthorne heard a familiar voice coming around the corner from the kitchen area.
Anthony had not known what hit him. One moment, he's on the phone, his other phone, the one that he hadn't broken yet, with the big boss. Then seconds later, he's grabbed, taken down to the floor, zip-tied, and hooded. The tackle to the floor didn't hurt. No, it was the tight zip ties around his wrist that hurt the most. Then everything went dark as two guys in all black pulled him up to his knees, then put a black hood over his head. They picked him up to his feet, then directed him to start walking. Anthony yelled out, "Wait a minute! You have no idea what you're doing? Do you know who I work for?" There was no answer from the SWAT team captain.
Hawthorne watched as the hooded and zip-tied Anthony was manhandled and pushed out the front door of the house, presumably to the police SWAT van where the other two guys had been taken. The house went eerily quiet as each of the remaining SWAT team members exited, all but one member who shouted, "All clear," who was now accompanied by two plainclothes officers wearing badges on their belts. One of the plainclothes officers looked at both Hawthorne and Tommy and told them that they were free to go and that they'd be in touch. As Hawthorne and Tommy walked out the front door, out of the house, toward Tommy's parked car, which was still parked next to the very nice and expensive Aston Martin Vanquish, Hawthorne looked at Tommy and asked, "How in the world did you remember that baseball song? I mean, that one surprised me, man."
As they both stood there, looking at the Aston Martin before getting into Tommy's car, Tommy answers Hawthorne and says, "I don't know how I remember that song. I guess maybe because it was such a memorable experience for me. I mean, That was my first time ever seeing an American baseball game, live and in person, and in all places. The famous Dodger Stadium. The details are hard to forget. I think I sang a song 100 times on my way home after seeing that game with you.
Hawthorne smiled at Tommy's comment, opened the passenger side door on Tommy's car, and then said, I guess I'll be making my flight home tomorrow morning after all. Hawthorne then asked a question as Tommy backs up the car and then drives past two SWAT team vans and several federal police cars. Hawthorne says, if the legends are true about bad luck following those who stole the artifacts, do you think the opposite is true? Good luck will follow those who are helping return the artifacts?
Tommy looks over at Hawthorne for a moment as he turns the corner out of the driver and onto the main road and says, I'd sure like to think so after what just happened back there. Tommy and Hawthorne then both look out the front windshield, put their sunglasses on, and drove off.
A few days later, Hawthorne is back in his office at the college in Coloma. He's sitting there just looking at his email inbox. He's wondering where he should start. So many emails to go through, he thinks to himself. Hawthorne scrolls a bit through the email inbox and sees an email from Ava, dated yesterday. He clicks it, opens it, and then reads. Hey there, Professor. Glad you made it back safe and sound. Sounds like you and Tommy had quite the incident at Anthony's place. I had several conversations with Tommy since you left, and he's filled me in on some of the details you learned about Mr. Garcia. I mean Anthony Garcia. Pretty wild and disappointing. Anyway, I thought you'd find this fascinating, as I have done some extensive digging into Mr. Garcia's life. Anthony, along with Silva's family members, owned shares in the large oil company, the same oil company that is vying for that now illegal contract in the Calakmul region in the south of Yucatan, where the J-Jar was found. Also, I received a random text from Miranda, and she said that David and her had been successful at returning the gold mask back to its original resting place. She also mentioned that she and David had a meeting set up with several village leaders around Calakmul to discuss the return of the jade jar, so that looks super promising. And one more thing, and sorry this email is really long. I was the one who tipped off the Mexican feds to Anthony's involvements. I didn't know or if they were going to raid his place, but they did tell me that they were going to act on my intelligence. My FBI source, you know, Agent Carson, gave me the information about Mr. Garcia and several of his family members holding lucrative board seats and owning a lot of shares in the oil company. Anyway, I thought you'd find this information interesting and hope it answers some more of your questions. Okay, see you again soon. Your always investigating friend, Ava. After reading the email, Hawthorne packs up his bag, takes the stairs down to the first floor instead of the elevator, exits the front main building doors, gets in his car and drives off. He calls his wife while driving home, hands-free, of course.
Mrs. Hawthorne had just returned home from one of the many early summer conference events held in Coloma. She was one of the guest speakers. Her phone rings. She sees that it's James. She answers and says, "Are you done at work yet?" She doesn't wait for an answer and then says, "The college semester is over. You're back from your Mexico trip, and my conference is over. I think it's time to celebrate a bit. I booked us a table at the new restaurant in town. You know, the one that your friend Ethan just bought and renovated? I hear he hired the best chef in the county." She heard James mumble something back, which sounded like, "Sure, that sounds like fun." She then says, "Oh, and by the way, it's okay if you want to write another book this summer, but on one condition. The next time you have an adventure, I'm coming with you."
And that ends part 10. Thanks for sticking around and stay tuned for season 4 coming August 2025.
And that brings us to the end of Season 3. What a journey it's been. To all of our student hosts, guests, storytellers, and listeners, thank you for being part of something truly special. The season was filled with creativity, curiosity, and courage, and I couldn't be prouder of the voices that made it happen. But don't worry, we're not done. Season 4 is coming your way in late August 2025 with a brand new student team, new topics, guests, and storytelling. However, between now and then, we'll be releasing both our full-length adventure stories uninterrupted from start to finish. So stay tuned. Until then, keep asking questions, keep storytelling, and stay curious because your voice matters. See you again soon.
All music and sound effects are courtesy of Pixabay.com, a vibrant community of creatives, sharing copyright-free images, videos, and music.
And we are signing off until next time. We are Students Incorporated, because your voice matters.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.